I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And a radio.
Oh, 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 oh.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Oh, happy Friday, John.
Good to see you again, Sarah Tiana.
It's so good to see you, John Reap.
I've missed you.
I know. I missed you, too.
How you been?
It is fun to just catch up.
I know.
I mean, I feel like we only see each other once a week, but
yeah,
it feels like a month has gone by.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff that happens.
There's so much stuff
you
that happens.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
You got a ton of stuff going on.
I got stuff going on.
Yeah.
We're busybodies. Look at us, Hollywood professionals making it happen.
I mean, it is amazing. Like, I mean, people, we always try to downplay, like, a comedy career and how crazy it is. We're always just like, it's really not that exciting. But if you think about what we do in a week compared to,
I mean,
it's just nothing is routine. Like, none of my days are exactly the same.
It's hard to get a routine because you're always moving around. And no gig is exactly the same. So, you know, corporate gigs, you got random pilots you're doing, specials and all this stuff. So congrats on all that.
Thank you. Yeah, just taped my special in New Orleans, and that was really fun. Got to see my family. That was cool.
Oh, man. I did a corporate gig for Penske, my second one.
You do so many corporate gigs.
And one in Wichita, Kansas. Two in a row.
Two in a row.
I flew to Charlotte. So I already did a Penske gig a while back. For the Penske Racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it went really well. And they invited me back to their holiday party, their Christmas party in Charlotte.
Wow.
So I did that. And then I went from there to Wichita, Kansas for another corporate gig. And then now I'm back here. So, and then I go to Wilmington and Raleigh. So,
Penske, that's not, because didn't Dale Earnhardt Jr. just retire?
He certainly did.
And are you okay?
Have you been following me on Instagram or Twitter?
I saw you do the funny face like he did.
Well,
or whatever.
This all happened by accident, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, I love playing these little Snapchat filters. And one of them.
Because you're 12 years old
exactly. And
you're a female.
Well, I like Snapchat. And then it just changed. I thought I was going to see boobs all the time. And then Screenshot killed that. And so now it's all about the filters and the funny faces. And I was just playing around with one of them. And I did this little story or whatever, a little fake story. And then some people said, you look like Dale Earnhardt Jr. if he was doing nitrous oxide. And I go, that's what I'm doing now.
Because
he just retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this whole series now of me as Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is now retired. It's called the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Retirement Report.
Uh-huh.
And but now he's addicted to nitrous oxide.
Wait, so he didn't do a Snapchat filter thing when he was retired? Because I saw something trending on Twitter the other day about Dale Earnhardt Jr. retired life. And I wonder if that
was
you. Oh, my God.
I'm the one. It's me. We should get to know each other.
Oh, my God. I didn't click on it.
Oh, he snapped me back.
No way.
I know him.
Okay.
I performed at his Christmas charity function one year.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of both have ginger beards and, you know, ginger hair. And and that, for whatever reason, this filter kind of makes his mouth look a little bit like Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s mouth. Just that tiny part. The rest of it's absurd. But
that is so fun. I didn't click on it because I thought it was him. And I was looking it up because I was making a writing packet because I was submitting to be a writer for Kimmel. And I remember writing a joke about it. And I think the joke was, people asked President Trump what he thought of Dale Earnhardt Jr. retiring. And he said, not really a big fan, which is true because Trump's much more of a petty guy.
Right.
Super petty. Very petty guy.
Well, that's what he's replied back. I did this joke as him. I go like, I love being retired. The hardest decision I have to make is which pair of Wrangler jeans I'm going to wear. I mean, they're both real comfortable jeans. Be honest with you, I like True Religions better. That one time I gave them to Michael Walter to try them on, he ripped the damn thing, even though they got double stitching. That's a big-ass boy. So anyway, he replied back to that. He goes, Wranglers, because they're U-shaped. They got that wide U-shape. He's saying he's got a big package.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, hope you will, man. So he's aware of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
So that's just a random thing that just sort of took off, and I'm having fun doing that.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Oh, my goodness. That is definitely taking off because it was trending on Twitter, which is normally like Trump is trending on Twitter. You know what I mean? That's how I get my news is I just like scroll through the moments, Twitter moments, and I read up on whatever that is trending.
I'll put one of them on the fried podcast Instagram so y'all can see it.
Yeah, let's make sure you do that.
I'm not making any money off it. I'm just having fun. You know?
Well, that
just
was
something
to
do.
That was going
to
be my personal question. What would you do if you weren't doing stand-up? That was one of the questions one of the friends on the Fried Instagram.
Good question.
Which is at Fried Podcast, by the way.
Thank you. The last job I had, I was actually working at a TV station.
Yeah.
I was a communication major.
Yeah.
And so I worked at the PBS of North Carolina, UNC-TV. And I was like the assistant director of a couple of boring shows. One was called...
Well, on PBS? No.
Believe it or not. I swear to God.
No.
No one watched them.
No.
It's called Legislative Week in Review.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was assistant director of it. Yes, yes. It was a very strong show.
Yeah.
Those numbers were not strong. But, you know, that's how people go through information if you're over 60. Mm-hmm. But actually, that was the last real job I had, and I'm glad I had that job because I had access. I was also doing stand-up at night. So I was doing stand-up at night at Good Nights, and I had worked there during the day, and I had already graduated, and I had access to good equipment. So I got, like, 3 cameras, and I brought it into the club when I was featuring one night and made a really good, like, tape,
mm-hmm.
and I had 2 channels of audio, and I turned crank up the laughter, you know? And then I had access to free tapes. Because they had all these recyclable VHS tapes, and I can make 10 recordings at once with all these VHS decks.
Wow!
And so I made my own little submission stand up tape for free, like hundreds of them.
Wow!
And I just sent them out to every comedy club that I could get an address for before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And before you know it, I was working a lot as a feature act all over the road. But that was the last real job I had. I imagine I'd still be hanging out there doing that.
Yeah.
Hopefully it would have worked up somehow.
Yeah, I definitely want. I was a journalism major at first because CNN was in Atlanta.
Right.
So I thought I was going to be in journalism,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because that's what my dad wanted me to do. And then I found out that you had to write the news. And I was like, F this.
No thanks.
No thanks. But I don't know. I feel like I would, I always felt like I would have been good, just like a nurse or something, you know, just because I'm very interested
and
caretaker, you know. Yeah, yeah.
You like to help people.
Yeah, I feel like I would be. I was a substitute teacher here for a little while, and I had to stop doing it because I was getting very dangerous minds about everything. You know, like I always taught school in the ghetto.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I'm gonna doom 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 doom. You know, like I was just like coming in.
You're
like,
gonna lose yourself in the music. Was that Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kept taking it very serious. I mean, they offered me a job at every school I taught at.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they would just go through tons of teachers. I mean, they were in old motels, these classrooms.
Man.
It was awful.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
I had this one little boy. He was in third grade, and we were teaching him about money, like how to count money.
Uh-huh.
And I had this one little boy who had to have the money. And, like, whenever we weren't using it, he had to have all the money. But he also, like, couldn't read and do math. Like, you know, they kept just pushing kids forward even when they couldn't read and stuff. And finally I asked him one day, I was like, do you know how much money all that is?
Uh-huh.
And he said, no. And I said, well, until you learn how to read and do math, people can take that money from you your entire life. And you just see, like,
life lessons.
The lights turn on,
yeah.
And he was just like, I need to learn how to count.
That's something he needed to hear.
Yeah, and then, oh, man, but that was... I just had to stop doing it because I cared way too much.
Yeah.
I cared way too much. I know, which is exactly
what
kids need.
Substitute teachers is exactly the ones that get messed with the most. You know,
mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, if we had a substitute, it was a field day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they would try to mess with me, and I was just like, I mean, being a comedian, I did not care. I was
uh-huh. You probably like some of it.
You can't heckle me.
Right.
I know how to, I would tell them if they finished their work, then they would be able to, like, watch some of my stand-up.
Oh.
I'd show them, like, clips.
Yeah,
because cool. They didn't really want to show them nothing. And, man, yeah, I used to have kids. This one kid would come in and put his feet up on the desk every day. This is a high school. He was, like, a senior. And I was like, Jose, like, why do you even come to school if you're not going to do any work?
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, miss. Because they always call me miss. Yo,
no, I'm
miss.
Like in your accent.
Yo, miss. Because if I don't be coming to school, my parents be getting arrested and shit. And I was like, okay, so you care about your parents. I was like, but what do you want to do in life?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yo, miss, I don't want to do shit. And I was like, join the fucking club, dude. Like, yeah. Do you think any of us want to work?
No.
Like, no, I don't want to work.
Sit around all
but
day.
But I do, you know, need money. I was like, so eventually you have to do something.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I think I finally got through to him. Also, if he didn't do his work, I would tell his baseball coach, and then he couldn't go to practice.
What was this? Was that the final straw that you said, no more? Like, I'm not doing this anymore?
No, it was the little kids. It was whenever I was, you know, because I was just getting way too attached.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just said, I can't do this anymore.
The guy who opens for me a lot named Brent Blakeney, he's from Raleigh, it does that too. He's a substitute teacher on the side, you know.
Yeah, it's a great gig.
And he does that, and it special needs kids too, and it's like even harder.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine, and he tells me some crazy stories too, so.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, I had to. I was like, I just got to go back to waiting tables, a job that I can quit, no problem.
Yeah. I'm just going to do nothing but comedy. I want to get paid for that all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember like when your last... your last job was it that was teaching the last
Beverly Hills Hotel. I was a waitress at the Beverly Hills Hotel for years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good not to have to do any of that anymore.
Yeah. It does feel good, but I was really good at it. Because I was just a good, you know, smooth talker.
Of course.
And I'm a good actress. That's what, like, people say, like, where can I see you do any acting? I'm like, come to the Beverly Hills Hotel. That's where I do all my, I would love to get you that. Oh, that's no problem.
Oh, sure.
Of course, whatever you need.
Yeah. That southern accent, too, people love it. They're like, oh, where are you from?
Oh, where are you from? Right. Well, that's how I met John Rich, because I waited on him when I worked at the Four Seasons, and he heard my accent. This is like when Big and Rich is hugely popular.
Yeah.
Like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy is huge at the moment. Just came out. And he's there, and I knew exactly who he was, and he heard my, of course, I turned that accent up, you know. And he's like, where are you from? I said, I'm from Georgia. He said, are you an actress? I said, actually, I'm a comedian. And he goes, I love comedy. I said, I know, sir. You ordered a Chardonnay. And he thought that was so funny.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. And then he asked me for a DVD of my act. And so I snuck it to him through the concierge at the hotel.
Oh,
I was like, oh, Mr. Rich needs this in his room. You know,
smooth.
And he called me 20 minutes after he watched it. He said he loved it. And he said, can you write jokes about country music artists? I said, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never written one, so I had no idea. And I was probably only doing stand-up about a year and a half, 2 years, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent him a joke every day for 6 months.
No kidding.
So he wouldn't forget me.
That's smart.
Yeah, and then he had me come and perform at his 31st birthday party in Nashville, and I bombed like crazy.
Oh.
And then Tanya Tucker and I made out at the bar, and then he still thought I was funny, and we've been best friends ever since.
Oh,
it was really fun.
You can't just leave that hanging out there. That's a great story.
Yeah. So I was pretty hammered. So was she. Because I bombed really bad. Like, very first joke was about...
Was this at a private event? Like, his house?
It was at an old bar that he used to own in Nashville. He don't own it no more, but it was... It wasn't in downtown. It was just outside of it.
Okay.
And, yeah, so everybody there. I mean, Kix Brooks. I mean, every single buddy. You know, I see Kix Brooks. It's the first joke I tell.
Mm-hmm.
I go, oh, Kix, huge fan, but I can never remember which one is Brooks, which one is Dunn, which one actually has the mustache, which one doesn't, which one actually tames the white tigers, and which one doesn't do magic at all. I always forget.
Right.
And nobody
they
laughed.
Like it. Yeah.
No, because he didn't laugh.
Oh,
and I go, you didn't think? Yeah, I was like, you didn't think that was funny? And he goes, no. And I go, well, maybe I didn't tell it right. I'll tell it again. I told it again.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then I just added, I was like, well, it's just easier. Remember, y'all are lovers because you can't spend 20 years together and not at least make out on the red dirt road. And boy, oh boy, it just went downhill from there. And John is the only one laughing. Like, he's dying laughing.
Yeah.
And then Brian McKnight came up after me because him and John wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
One, you're like a dream come true. Two, just want to be
with
you.
Three, something else.
You're the biggest part of
me. Oh, yeah.
And he made a comment. Like, literally, the band was playing cricket noises while I was up there. And then Brian McKnight goes, well, I guess I got to clean this mess up. And
I
don't think he
mad.
Did. Yeah, but then, I mean, I just got hammered after. But again,
that's what you do.
I told that joke 10 years later in front of Kix, and we are now good friends.
Like,
he
good.
Loved it. So it's just the way I told it. I didn't have any confidence. I was roasting before I knew what roasting was.
Right. Now, was the stage set up for bands? Like, were you? It was there like a band before you and a band after you? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, I was.
That's never
first too.
Great conducive for comedy.
Yeah, as you know.
Oh, I bombed in Nashville doing that same thing with WME. So, So don't worry.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was not. It was not good.
And then Tanya Tucker goes, "Here, I'll make it better."
No, she goes, "All these people are fucking losers. They don't got no sense of humor. You're hilarious." You know, she's got that gruffy voice. She's like, "Come on over here." You know, whatever. I was
Let's
just
share menthol together.
Come on over here. I think you're great. And I was like, "You get it." And we're both just like hammered. And then she just started kissing me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to not kiss Tanya Tucker. What am I, an idiot?
Give her my number. I'll kiss her. I'll kiss her right now. You hear me, Tanya? I'm calling you out."
No. Okay.
Let's call her on the Five Podcast one of these days.
If I had her number, I would absolutely call her.
Do you
her.
Remember the last day of your real job where you actually quit and you're like, "I'm never going back into the real world again"? Like that last moment? Because I remember mine.
It felt like, you know, when you're a senior in college and you take your last exam, you're like, "Oh my God, I'm free." Yeah. I mean, I felt lighter. Yeah.
Scary too, though.
It was very scary. But you know what? Honestly, I kept that job way longer than I needed to. Like, I was already making good money featuring on the road and featuring for bigger names.
Sure.
But if I didn't have a lifestyle where I, you know, liked having a nice car and a good place to live alone.
Yeah.
You know, if I was couch surfing, I could have quit 5 years before.
Yeah.
But I just refused to live like that.
Mine was October 1998. I went into my boss's, I said, because of that tape I sent out. You know, I put that clip of me getting kicked out of a Panthers game at the very end of it. So I knew if people watched it, because they'd go like, "What was it at the end?" Because they didn't ask me that. I was like, "You didn't watch it."
Oh, yeah. Oh, smart.
Yeah. But I got tons of work. And 3 months, I'm like, "Gosh, I got to go in there. Now I got to go in there and quit." So I went to my boss. I'm like, "Hey, man, you know, I've been doing stand-up at night." He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Well, I got 3 months booked steady. So I guess I'm saying goodbye." He goes, "Okay, well, hey, I support you. We think you're funny and everything, but when you come back here in 2 weeks and beg for your job back, I hope it's here."
And that's motivation,
yeah,
though.
It's like, okay. And I haven't been back.
Wow.
I still have my name tag, though. I still have a little
Yours
ID
like,
to pass the, you know, the little security thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if it still works.
Well, mine was, you know, I didn't start stand-up until 2003.
Uh-huh.
So, and I moved here in 2001, and I got to quit my job literally almost to the 10-year mark, 2011.
Oh. Oh, cool.
And you know how they always say in L.A., in Hollywood, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success?
Right.
I was like, this town finally paid up, right? Like, this town is finally did what it said.
Yeah.
And I can trust it. And that was exactly 10 years almost.
Yay, look at us now.
I know, look at us now. We have a podcast for 80 people.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Follow us on Instagram, @fried. Yeah. Podcast, I think that's what it's called.
And that's fried, spelled off. No. yeah. Well, we did leave everybody with a little bit of a cliffhanger
last show. Man, this is crazy.
Okay, so I'm going to play the hometown news jingle from my little niece, Beatrice, since, you know. Juicy redneck gossip for your
hometown news. Yay, Beatrice, we love
Yay,
you.
Yay, Beatrice. Yeah, so you were talking about a guy who...
Okay, so I'm gonna give you the rundown here.
Yeah,
and this is a bizarre, weird, crazy story. so there was a guy who lost his leg in a plane crash. All right, now his dad was the pilot. It was like a little tiny plane.
Oh,
They were rich people in Maiden, North Carolina, because his dad was a vice president of a furniture store, like a big chain, right? And Hickory was once the furniture capital of the world. Like,
Whoa.
That was a huge industry right there. So he had this, they had a big mansion with a tennis court and a roller skate rink, and they were like little daredevils and stuff, and so go-kart races and that kind of stuff. And so one day he was out flying with his dad, and his dad was a pilot, he was a co-pilot, and they crashed, and he lost his leg, and his dad died.
Oh.
So his leg kind of meant something to him. It was weird in a way, but like, he looked at that leg as the last thing that he, even though it was his own leg, he looked at it like, I lost this with my dad, it's my leg, but that's what it connects me to him in a weird way. So, now, this guy.
Last thing he touched.
Yeah.
No,
but he was in...
That's so gross. Sorry, I'm just insensitive.
Please. So he loses his leg, mm-hmm. all right, and he gets addicted to drugs because of they gave him Oxycontin. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, going through recovery, and he just gets really. I've never had it.
Oh, do you have awesome. Any?
I've heard it's amazing. I'm afraid if I did.
Yeah, you might be. You'd lose should be me. Afraid.
There
yeah.
would be no more John Reed.
Yeah, bye bye.
I'd be like, I'm gonna cash in the chips and move to a tent.
You're like, you want to know what,
row,
I, what I'd be doing if I wasn't doing comedy? Drugs.
Right. So he got addicted to drugs and was really messed up, and his mom basically was like, no more. We're not gonna. You know, we're not going to support you and enable you and all that kind of stuff. And so he goes, well, fine, I'm leaving. He puts all his stuff in storage, including his leg, which was he had kept because he wanted to keep it. So he actually went, he asked the hospital, I want the leg, and they gave it to him. And so, but they had frozen it, right? And so he's like, well, I got to keep this in a freezer. He tried to put it in his freezer, and it was too big to fit in his freezer. He knew someone who worked at Hardee's.
No.
And went to a Hardee's and said, can you put this in the freezer?
No, at a Hardee's?
Yes.
No!
I swear to God.
No!
You have to watch this documentary. You have to watch it. And so they put it in a Hardee's
What's
freezer.
What's the name of the documentary? Don't Eat at Hardee's?
Yeah. It's called Finders Keepers.
You know what else is harder than Hardee's is a frozen leg.
Oh, right. We don't have any fries left. We got feet. One foot.
Yeah, chicken toes. Chicken nuggets.
I saw that part of Dr. Reed. I just about lost it. I was like, I'm already in love with it. And this is like 10 minutes in.
What person in the South doesn't have a friend that works at Hardee's? I just never cashed in that friendship. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I still love messing with people at Hardee's. But so he kept it in the Hardee's. Not long, because the person, he didn't tell him what it was. It was wrapped up in a bag. He said, can you just keep this in a freezer?
Oh, my God.
So they didn't even know what it was. And then finally someone was like, what is this? And saw the foot and goes, what the? And then called him. He's like, you got to come get this foot. And so he went. And he said he went to a drive-thru and they handed it to him through the drive-thru window.
No.
And he took it home with him.
What you want, baby? I want my leg back.
Just trying to get a leg up.
Jeez.
So this dude takes his leg and he's like, I'm keeping it. And he wants to embalm it. And he grabbed a screen door
like
and wrapped it with the screen and then put some embalming fluid.
Oh, he did it himself.
He did himself.
He embalmed it himself.
I don't know where he got the fluid. Like, very odd.
Well, if he knows where to get oxy, he probably knows where to get embalming fluid.
Yeah, that's a good point. So he mummified his foot and then and kept it, right? But then, you know, when his mom kicked him out, he had to put all his stuff in storage.
She gave him the boot.
Tiana! My girl! Gave him the boot!
Get
out of here!
I can see why you love this story because you have like two of those leg lamps in your house. Oh, and you...
It's in the documentary.
No! Stop it.
At the very... Okay.
Okay.
Spoiler. Jesus Christ. So this dude has to put his crap in storage.
I mean, his
whole house, his furniture.
Did he save his crap too?
He saved his poop. No, but he just put his leg inside of a smoker, a grill. We're gonna put it somewhere. He just laid it down.
I think
he thought he was coming right back, but when he went to South Carolina, he didn't do well, and he couldn't pay it. And mom said, "I ain't paying it." And then of course it goes to like
the auction.
Storage Wars. Now the worst guy in the world ended up buying this thing.
What do you mean the worst guy in the world?
Because this dude's a piece of work.
Okay.
The guy who actually bought it. He's
well,
one of those guys.
If you buy storage units, you're kind of like a treasure hunter.
This dude's
like a bad treasure
whitest
hunter.
Whitest white trash. Like.
Do you ever see that Storage Wars episode where that guy spent all that money because all the boxes said crystal?
No.
And then it just ended up being a bunch of shit. Some girl named
then
Crystal.
Crystal. Oh, of course.
Yeah,
I've got to think of all the crystals in here. That's so. They deserve that.
Yeah. Then. Okay. So this guy's a terrible
grill piece of work douchebag buys this the storage unit, finds the grill with the foot in it. And he's like, holy shit, I'm going to be rich.
Okay.
Because he thought, this is his mindset. Like, he works, you know, he's like a carny kind of guy. You know, he's always doing like a get-rich sort of scheme type of
like
thing.
Like a pyramid scheme.
Like, I'll be the foot guy.
Oh.
And so, like, so he finds the foot. And he's the kind of guy that goes to flea markets all the time to buy shit. He's always trading the people, like bartering.
Ugh,
but
just
poor
barter.
White trash, man.
Yeah.
So this dude has the foot and decides he's going to, like, show it to people. You know, like it's like a peep show.
Like a sideshow.
Yeah, like $5 for adults, $1 for kids.
Come see a leg.
Come look at the
foot. A real leg.
Yeah, he called it the foot grill. The grill foot or some shit like that. Now, I don't want to give you too much of it, but I'm going to play you the trailer real quick and you get an idea of what these people sound like. This is the trailer of the documentary called Finders Keepers.
Okay.
And what's the problem there?
I got a human foot.
Have a what?
A human foot. And it's plumb nasty, got me grossed out.
I'd seen the grill and ended up buying it. And I opened the grill up, and there's a foot, you know, five toes and five toenails. I decided to keep it.
The smoker grill is now a tourist attraction.
I can't believe. I mean, who is this guy? That's my leg.
He lost his leg 3 years ago, and that's just one hurdle life has thrown at him.
I've been shot, run over by a state dump truck, electrocuted. I've been through a lot.
An unbelievable character, isn't he?
A gentleman told me today I was a household name in Hollywood, California.
Everybody around here knows him as a footman.
Some folks just call me Foot for short.
It is a freak show, no question.
It's a funny story, but it's born of tragedy.
Sundance.
No. I lost my leg Sundance. In a plane crash, and I lost my father.
When I was a kid, I made a wish. One day I might be a movie star.
He likes the spotlight.
It's all he thinks about. It's just took him over.
After the crash, they send you home with a can full of OxyContin and nobody says anything about the addiction. That's what about killed me. And I would have just kept on doing what I was doing. It's really all I had was that leg.
If he can hang on to this leg and keep it in this world, then that's his dad.
This leg has given him a purpose.
There must have been 50 cameras clicking and flashing. None of that had ever happened before in my life, and that's something you'll never forget, you know.
The battle tonight is just who does that leg belong to?
I got proof, evidence.
He actually thought this was his big break.
As bizarre as it all is, we can't move forward until there's an ending for this leg.
Woo, it's win-win-win. If you're just winning or win-winning, that's just winning or win-winning. But when you're win-win-winning, you're win-win-winning.
What?
That's the guy. That's the guy who found the leg.
By the way, the guy cries in that, the guy that found the leg. Okay. Like, there's so many cameras flat. Like,
he thought he was going to be rich and famous.
Aaron, that is like a Sundance.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard of this? You've heard of this before. You said, I think last episode you said, yeah, it's a familiar.
Yeah, I've heard of the story.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So it's about to come out.
Wow. It's out now.
Oh, it's out now.
I watched the whole thing today before I got here.
Where is it out?
Netflix.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to go home and watch this.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's only got 2 stars, which is dumb. The thing deserves 5 stars. And it hasn't
won a bunch of awards.
It's got a good ending.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, don't spoil it.
They actually end up fighting over it in the court over whose leg it is.
Oh, like, my God.
Well, he legally bought it. It's
he
mine.
Legally
he bought
it.
Everything in that.
Right.
But that guy's like, well, it's mine.
Mine. I was born with it.
Yeah. So I don't want to give it away. But if you want a good documentary and you like a good, weird, crazy story about my hometown almost.
That is almost.
Yeah.
The same people that the part that made me laugh the most is said from the people who did King of Kong and Undefeated.
Yeah. Which one was Undefeated?
I don't even know.
Oh, King of Kong is good.
Oh, yeah?
You have to watch that one, too.
I don't know that one.
Oh, Aaron, back me up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sarah, you'd love it. Good. It's about, I'll do that real quick. It's about a guy who buys a Donkey Kong machine. And he gets really good at Donkey Kong,
mm-hmm.
and he beats the high score, and he ends up challenging a guy who, apparently there's a huge society of Donkey Kong, like you gotta beat the highs, you have to record it and send it in, and
uh-huh.
and these guys just go at it. It's just a good documentary about Donkey
right.
Kong. It's really good.
I wonder what Undefeated is about, because it seems like the Foot Finders Keepers is also called Undefeated.
Yeah.
just underfooted.
Underfooted.
That would have been a better name for a documentary. From the people who brought you Undefeated, here's Underfooted.
That dude's like, I bought Fair
it's
and Square.
It's the prequel. I bought it Fair and Square.
Yeah, he goes, I got the receipt in my back pocket.
I mean, your almost hometown has Coneweed and a guy that from
foot
this
guy.
Movie.
The foot guy.
Yeah, you were like the third most famous person from your town.
Oh, definitely. I'm not even third. It goes Coneweed,
foot guy,
the pig from Green Acres. And then I think maybe, I want to say, Dale Jarrett's up there. Yeah, and then me.
Oh, Dale Jarrett's from your hometown?
Yeah, Dale Jarrett. You got Dale Jarrett. You got, that pitcher from the San Francisco Giants, Madison Bumgarner.
Oh, he's from
right, right outside there.
Dang.
And then you got Dale Jarrett, the Jarretts. And then you got Eric Church, country music singer.
No way.
From there, yeah. Holy. So I'm not even like in the top 10.
Yeah, you're not. I'm definitely, my town, I think there's a semi-pro football, or a guy that played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And from my hometown.
Yeah.
But most famous thing about my town, remember, is that's where the Trail of Tears started.
Oh, that's right. That was a good episode. Yeah. That was a good episode. Well, I mean, this guy ended up, they ended up on like Judge Mathis on TV going at it.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And they, you never see, at the you see the foot at the end. So they don't let you see the foot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then it's sort of like in a weird way.
That's why it has a good ending, because you finally get to see the foot.
You know what I did? Because that guy was trying to be famous, the guy who had the foot. Mm-hmm. So I just looked him up. I just Googled to see if he was on social media. He has his own Twitter.
Does the foot have its own?
At footguync.
No.
And then I befriended him, sent him an email saying, like, I'd love to have you on the podcast. You know, call in. And then I Googled him again, and he died. Yeah.
Oh.
Massive heart attack. So he doesn't know. He's not going to be on the podcast.
Did he get to keep his heart?
No, the other guy has.
That would be the best.
I want his ashes, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
man.
That's a crazy story.
You definitely don't want that guy's leg. Oh. It's got diabetes.
Diabetes.
My grandma only had one leg, like, at the end of her, because they had to amputate one of her legs, and then she was like a whole new person after that.
Yeah.
Because it cuts out the disease, you know?
All right.
And she wouldn't do it for a long time because of, you know, religion.
Yeah.
You know, don't want, you know, Catholicism doesn't want you to amputate.
Mutilate yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, she ended up doing it, and then she was like a whole new person, and we used to try to get her to... We're like, Grandma, come to Six Flags, ride that Batman ride, see if that leg really stays on, you know, because there's one where your feet dangle. Oh. Yeah. I mean, she was a hoot, but she just loved her sugar.
Oh,
the sugar in the blood, like,
the
she just did not
you.
Care. Yeah.
So wait, if you have diabetes and you cut your leg off, mm-hmm. you no longer have diabetes?
No, you do, but it's just a lot of that is, I guess that's where a lot of the disease resonates.
The extremity,
you know?
Like it's your, like, you know, like if you go, if you get frostbite, it's your, like, your extremities go first.
Yeah,
know?
Because
you know,
it
has your
fingertips, the least,
your toes.
Yeah. You need the circulation.
It's harder to get the blood down there
to
back up.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
So, yeah, she only had one leg at the end, and she's still driving. I mean, she's just, she was real funny.
Well, guys,
yeah, so
stay off the sugar.
All right. Yeah.
Be careful this holiday season. Stay off. Be careful with the sweets. You don't. And you look at Santa Claus. You're thinking, well, that guy should probably cut down.
Yeah, Santa Claus.
Because you look at that guy, like, he's got to have high cholesterol, triglycerides.
Yeah.
You know, what else you got? High blood pressure.
Well, that was my favorite Ralphie May joke that I ever made about him. I said, you know what, Ralphie's trying to get healthy. He recently took up yoga so he could get flexible enough to kiss his foot goodbye. Great joke.
I love it.
That's a great
He'd love that
/ diabetes joke.
Diabetes.
Yeah.
I love that Wilford Brimley commercial where he goes, diabetes.
I mean, Wilford Brimley, is he not? He was in Cocoon, right?
Yeah, he was.
He was
great in Cocoon.
He was so. I remember.
Cocoon's one of my favorite movies.
It's one of my favorite movies. I have not watched that, and so, okay. Well, now I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to watch Finders Keepers and Cocoon.
Cocoon. What a great night. I'm going to watch Cocoon.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to go see Justice League here in a little bit.
Are you really?
Yeah. I saw Wonder Woman, and I loved it.
It's so good.
I saw it twice.
You did?
I love Gal Gadot. That girl is hot.
Yeah, and she can really fight.
Yeah,
Israeli army man.
Yeah, yeah. They make all the youth over there do that before they, I think every kid has to, it's like 2 years you got to train with the military before you graduate or something like that.
Oh, yeah, everybody has to.
Yeah, she did that basic training kind of thing.
I wish they would make everybody in America do some sort of public service.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Obama tried to make that a thing where it's like 2 years before college you had to do public service and then you could go.
I think a lot of people, if that were a thing, it would solve a lot of problems.
Or maybe you got like credit for school if you did, you know, or more credit, or you got more money.
That's
yeah,
a good deal. I think that's smart.
Yeah, whether it's just like picking up, you know, like helping with the environment.
Just
or,
get out of your hometown and go somewhere else for a little bit and get a view of the world.
Did you study abroad?
I went to Russia for 3
weeks. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I went to Paris.
Yep.
It's literally the most I ever learned in school. It's probably the most I remember about college.
It's just getting out of your hometown.
Just getting out of the country and experiencing something new because your senses are so heightened and you're just aware of like everything because everything's so different.
It's different, and then you get back home and you learn to appreciate what you have.
Yes,
and
very
like,
much so.
You don't take it for granted anymore. It's like, wow, I actually love this town and what they do for me.
Yeah, the one, yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love America!
Speaking of people who probably need to get out and see new things. I have a funny story that I found. Rednecks Everywhere.
Do we have a song for this yet? We gotta get a song.
Okay,
hey, listeners, if you're in the music biz, write us a little jingle.
Yeah, if anybody Rednecks else Everywhere. Wants to write us some jingles besides my niece, you are more than welcome to.
We'll test them.
Yeah, we'll play them both. Yeah. I don't even care.
We'll do a whole music show.
Yeah, if any of you cut off your legs and you want to keep it in a grill, let us know.
Yeah.
So this is from Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
Police say a Nevada woman was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving after she drove down a highway the wrong way, danced atop her SUV, and attempted to flee officers on a kid's scooter.
Oh, wow. So much in that story.
So much going on.
Oh,
so she
wow.
drove the wrong way down.
She was drunk, driving the wrong way.
Down the highway, then got out of the car, danced on top of the SUV.
On top of her car.
On top of her car.
Yeah.
Wait, well,
was it
the,
was
atop
it the cop
her SUV.
Yeah, okay.
Attempted to flee from officers on a kid's scooter.
I wonder, did it say dance? Did she dance on top of the car?
On top of the SUV, which is hard to get on top of an SUV.
Yeah, was there a pool up there? Remember that one story you had with the pool and the kid was holding the pool down?
Yeah, the pool.
Is it that same mom?
Yeah, it might be. Police in the city of Sparks answered a call Saturday for a wrong-way driver and found 27-year-old Sabra Bewley's Jeep Cherokee some 20 yards up a hill off highway.
Wow. Yeah, she's a stripper from Reno, Nevada.
I mean, she had to have been more than drunk.
Yeah.
If you go on,
what do you think that drug is?
Because when you are intoxicated, you don't have the energy to dance and run.
No. Yeah.
Right?
You might just hit the gas and, you know, wreck.
That
but you're not going to get
on.
She's like, oh, I know, I'll get out of this car, dance for a second, then get on a scooter. That's my plan.
You know, but is that the right order?
That sounds like crystal meth to me.
Yeah, that's what I was
maybe some
thinking.
Bath salts.
Officer said Bewley was acting erratically. Yeah, no crap. And dancing on top of the Cherokee before attempting to get away on a kid scooter. They detained her, took her to the hospital before she was booked at the Washoe Jail. She was arrested on suspicion of possessions of a controlled substance, trafficking MDMA, destruction of property, and resisting arrest.
Oh,
MDMA, that's Molly.
Yeah.
Isn't
ecstasy.
That what that is?
Same thing, Molly,
is it?
Ecstasy.
They're I have no idea about drugs.
I prefer Molly, but it's about the same.
Why is it called Molly?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Do you know her?
Is it like...
Aaron looks like he looks like the electronic dance music kind of guy. Always raving somewhere with glow sticks.
Let's call your mom, Miss Betty, and see what she says.
Mom, why they call it Molly?
I mean, look at this lady's picture. Is like she's definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her name was Sabri. What'd you say her name was?
Sabra. Brutally.
She looks like it's probably a stripper, and she's on ecstasy. I wonder where the scooter came from.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd the scooter... That
was
mean,
it like...
So she left the kids in the car. There's probably kids in the car.
So was it, I wonder if it was like just... Oh God, I want to find out where the scooter came from.
I know, it doesn't... I hate when
was
they
was it
don't
a motorized scooter?
When they don't
was
give
like
enough detail.
Little razor type thing?
I mean, journalist, come on now. Get
right.
in there. Give us
come
some more
on.
You can't just put a story like this out.
We should write an angry email to this person who did the story.
Okay, let me give him a call. Let me say who did it. Let me say who... I don't even
we want
say
an
who...
ending to this. Well, we have an ending. We just we have questions about the scooter.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions. Yeah, it doesn't say who wrote it.
And that happened in Reno, Nevada, which, you know, that's not really typically... You're sort of picked on for being like Southern or rednecky.
But Reno, though.
But it's Reno.
Reno
911,
like,
which
Reno
you were on.
Reno smells like cigarette smoke on the outside.
Reno's tough, isn't it?
And there's a lot of meth in Reno.
Yeah.
So MDMA is she's doing pretty good. You know what I mean?
She's not as worse, as bad as she could be.
I think they said Sparks. Is that close to Reno?
I think it is. It's not far, I don't think. It sounds familiar. I've been to Reno a couple times to perform.
Yeah, I've been to Reno a few times.
Have you been to Laughlin, Nevada?
Oh, yes. I saw an Alan Jackson concert there with my parents.
Ooh. Name dropper.
I know. Oh my, well, what the funniest part was, like, before the concert, they show, like, a little video of him on the bus, you know, and everybody, like, loading in. And then there's a section where they show the town that they're in, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, in Vegas, they'll show, like, the lights, and, you know, and, like, for Laughlin, it was, like, welcome to Laughlin. And then it was just, like, some, like, large, like, an overweight lady, like, right, walking down the road by her house. Like, even there
she's
was...
walking past the statue of Don Laughlin. Yeah. The guy who founded it.
The saddest part of the whole video.
Did he sing way down yonder on a Chattahoochee? You never knew how much a muddy water meant to me.
Yeah, he sang everything. And when he sang Daddy Let Me Drive, I just started bawling because I was there with my dad.
I like Alan Jackson.
Favorite. Yeah.
And Laughlin has a good river.
That's about all it has. It's casinos
and
river.
Could you imagine, like, Alan Jackson performing at Laughlin on the
river,
singing the Chattahoochee song?
Yeah. It was
on jet
too.
Skis with his blue jeans on.
Those old videos of him on boats. There's so many good videos of him from the 80s on a boat.
Him with those acid wash blue jeans on that jet ski is one of the funniest things. And his mullet just flapping in the wind.
Man.
But it's a good song. I actually love that song. I mean, I love to be some 80s rock, 80s country.
Prime Country on Sirius Radio is probably the only station I listen to.
Is it 80s?
It's 80s and 90s country, and it is so good. It's like a lot of Randy Travis. They'll have, like, Ronnie Millsap, Eddie Rabbit.
Oh, wow.
Willie Nelson, you know.
Randy Travis, he's a classic.
Hal Ketchum.
I forgot about Hal Ketchum.
I'm not even kidding around. I listen to all that.
On the other hand, there's a wedding band.
There's a golden band.
That's what I said.
There's a golden band.
That's a good
one. That reminds me of something.
That's not that Randy Travis, though, is it?
Yeah, that's it, Randy Travis.
Man, he had good songs, and he got on some sort of weird drug there at the end.
Yeah,
remember when he drove his Camaro into a convenience store and he was on something.
Man, but they play like Alabama. They play like, man, they play so many good artists on that.
Do you remember when Garth Brooks decided to go Chris Gaines?
Ugh.
Remember
what
that?
A terrible idea.
I was like, she should call him Goth Brooks.
Yeah, Goth Brooks.
Goth Brooks, put some guy ladder on.
Oh, my
Justin
gosh.
Justin Bieber just hair to one side like, we know it's you, Garth.
Oh, my gosh, so funny. Do you want me to do another one, or do you want to do one?
Where are we at there, buddy? Well, I can do this one real quick.
If you want,
I'll let you choose what it's going to be.
I love a choosing.
We could do a Member Dem, or we could do a Rednecks Everywhere.
Oh, man. I mean, I kind of want to stick with Rednecks Everywhere.
All right.
Because those are fun.
This is, all the way from jolly old London, England.
Ooh.
You think there's rednecks just in America?
England.
No.
England.
London, England.
London, England.
So here's what happened.
There's a bunch of crazy people out there.
There totally is.
Isn't there?
So here's what happened. MPs, that's a member of parliament's aide, like an aid worker for a member of parliament. He's been praised after he chased down a vandal who threw a brick through a Land Rover window while they were out canvassing.
A Land Rover window?
Like a car, like a SUV Land Rover.
Okay.
Like this. So what happened?
Just making sure. You know they have such weird names for things.
They do.
Like when they call a flashlight a torch.
Yeah.
I can't stand that. Yeah. Like, I'll just light you with the torch. And I'm like, what torch? You're not going to light me with a torch.
Yeah. Where's Frankenstein?
Yeah.
It says here, footage of the chase has been released after the incident which happened while Chris... I'm just going to go first names because it doesn't matter. Chris was out canvassing for a candidate, right? Two fences were smashed during the chase, which happened in the back gardens. They're called backyards, back gardens.
Get out of here.
What are you growing back
there? They deserve to get broken into.
Just because you're growing grass doesn't mean it's a garden. Yeah, we all have gardens too, London.
Yeah, dumb.
Think you're better than me? So this guy, Kieran Nichols... He threw the brick at a Land Rover because he had been woken up by a megaphone, like, saying, vote Aaron Ronsdale! Vote Aaron Ronsdale! Vote conservative! And so he was trying to sleep at 3 p.m. which tells you about this winter. He's asleep at 3 p.m. And his lawyer goes, well, he believed it was a breach of the peace. And so he picked up a brick from the backyard and put it through the window. Like he said, he's trying to sleep. He goes, ah, God damn, just threw a brick at this damn thing. And,
get out of here.
And the aide chased him. And there's video of this and some pictures. They ran through some backyards, broke a fence. And so he goes, he's guilty. Let's see here. He told the paper nothing would deter him from campaigning. This is the guy who the most important outcome here was that the young man was caught and did not escape the law. While we were shaken, me and my team cracked on and finished our canvassing session that evening.
Cracked on.
So he has to pay for the fence and the window. And the kid was actually, like, supposed to be in some rehab center. So he had already, he's already in trouble with the law and had to go to rehab. And he left there to go, like, nap at home
and
at 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m.
And then got pissed off.
So he's not a comedian.
He decided, right?
Right.
That would justify it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's like, fuck that. I'm throwing a brick through this Land Rover. So. You think there's rednecks just in America? No. London, England,
yeah,
this happened.
People in London are also hate the rich.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that seems like.
Yeah.
If you throw a brick through a Land Rover, you're just like, I hate
I like
rich
that it was
people.
A Land Rover, though. You
yeah,
know?
I know.
I mean, if he had thrown it through, like, you know, like a Pinto or a Jeep, I'd be like,
yeah,
that's
like
just
that.
That's
it's
white
hard
trash
enough.
On white trash crime.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit the Land Rover. So I'm not sure whose side I'm on.
Don't do it to your own. Yeah, I know, right?
I don't need some guy running down the street going, vote conservative. That was loud. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. I blew my own
sorry,
ears out.
To the
sorry,
people
audience.
At home. I just found a 80s country song I was going to play
oh,
for you.
Oh, please do. But don't tell me who it is. I want to see if I can
oh,
guess
okay.
it. This will be like
let's
a little game.
Let's see if I can. Well,
let's see who can guess it first, me or Aaron.
Oh, shoot. Why is this not in my library? Oh, man.
Is it on the YouTubes?
Oh, hold
the
on.
The interwebs?
I thought I had this.
Oh, here it comes. Hang on. This is Eddie Rabbit.
Nope.
No, hang on. Hang on. I know this song. Conway Twitty.
Nope.
Nope. Shh, hang on. Aaron, throw something out. You got nothing. Okay, hang on. I got this. Stranger in my house.
Yes.
There's a stranger in my house.
Really?
Somebody here that I can't see.
Who is it?
Eddie Rabbit, no.
He's blind.
I know. Ronnie Millsap.
Yes.
Ronnie Millsap, here we go. There's a stranger in my house. There's somebody here that I can't see.
And he definitely can't see him because he's also blind, right?
Right? How funny is that? You think he did that on purpose? I mean, did someone write that song for him and just go, don't worry about it?
I think everybody who walks in your house is a stranger if you can't see him.
Everybody you can't see.
I think it's more about, like, somebody
you can't
he's
see
married to.
Her personality.
No, he's like, I don't know her
secrets.
Anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's like, it's like you've been married a long time and now I don't know who this person is anymore.
Got
it's
it.
Really sad song.
Yeah, it really is. I love him.
I do too.
He's got some great hits.
Oh, man. Yeah, there was a Smoky Mountain Rain.
Keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling.
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I used to love Ronnie Millsap and Conway Twitty.
Yeah, she keeps the home.
Oh.
Fire's burning.
He goes, crack a dong and hit the road. Get my shoulders for the heavy load. Coffee leaking from the paper sack.
Now, is that really
coffee was in the, he put two cups of coffee in a paper sack.
Oh, my gosh.
That's old school right
oh, wait,
there.
Wait, maybe I have this one, too. This guy I love so much. Let's see if this is going to play. See if you know this one.
Hang on.
Let me fast forward a
little bit. Oh. Oh, yeah. John Deere Green?
Nope.
Same guy, though.
Might be.
His voice sounds like the same.
No,
double wide trailer.
Yes.
This is with the queen of my double wide
yep.
trailer. She said, Redwood Deck. Let's hear the chorus. Oh, I love it.
Curtains
in a redwood deck. The redwood deck.
Yeah.
This deck was made of redwood.
And a pretty red
neck.
Sammy Kershaw. Sammy Kershaw.
Sammy Kershaw.
That's what I was saying. I love that. I got to get it. What channel station? Is that?
It's on Sirius.
Sirius XM. It's, I think
Prime
it's
Country. You said.
Prime Country. I think it's like 58.
Oh, I'm going to find that.
Channel 58. Yeah. So anyway.
I love it. We should do this. This should be a new segment. Our favorite.
Name that
80s country song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, okay. I was just going to try to find another one before we leave, but that's all right. Oh, man.
Well, this
country
has been
songs
fun.
Are fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is so fun.
Everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Friday, everybody.
We love you. Give us some repeat feedback. Rate, review, subscribe, and share. Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. I'll just keep playing this one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everybody. Yeah.